Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God said a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to Him. And we can begin to understand that when we see God standing outside of time and creating time. He also created space, which is the reason that God is not bound by space, which is the reason that God can be outside of wherever we are, because we want to put God in space.
Welcome to the beginning. We are taking it all the way back to creation, where it all started, as we kick off an encore presentation of our study through the book of Genesis. In our trip through the first book of the Bible, we're going to look at time, how God is outside of time, and we're looking at space, and the tremendous way this universe is perfectly balanced. Here we go with Genesis chapter 1. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you as we humble ourselves before you, as we stand here with all sincerity, without hypocrisy, wanting to be real before you, wanting you to move in our lives, wanting to see you do a work in us. And approaching your word here in the beginning with some excitement. Lord, believing that there's so much for us to learn, that we have barely begun to scratch the surface when it comes to knowing you, walking with you. What is the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of the living God? We pray that we would see some of that revelation here today as we begin our study in the book of Genesis. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And with those 10 words starts the Word of God. And I got thinking about it as I was preparing this study. How many people have opened up their Bible and read those 10 words with the intention of making it all the way to Revelation? And then how many people haven't done that? How many people have gotten to Leviticus and said, "I'm done, I quit, I'm going to Matthew"? Or how many people have gotten to the middle of Exodus? You know, the first part of Exodus is history. The second part is the law and the giving of the law. And that's where I get bogged down. When I set out to read the Bible all the way through, I get to the second half of Exodus, and that's where it's like you start reading about how the tabernacle was to be built and the curtains and the cherubim and all of those things and the sacrifices that were made. And I find myself in the middle of those things wanting to go and read Colossians, wanting something that I can just get my hands around a little bit better. But I believe that there is value to every verse in the Word of God. And I believe that God has placed nuggets and jewels all the way through His Word that really can bless us. And certainly starting off with this verse, what a verse. How full this is. As I look at it, the first thing that I think of is it assumes a few things from the very beginning. It assumes that there was a beginning. We're going to look at the creation, but it really doesn't go into what that beginning is. It just says, "In the beginning." The beginning of the creation of the universe. God doesn't go into a defense that there is a God or whom that God is. It simply says God. Over the next 66 books of the Bible that He has put together, we will learn who that God is. And then created. And boy, in that one little word, I have underlined in my Bible, created, and all that is behind that. We could spend weeks just talking about creation. In fact, I have a feeling that we're actually going to do that. God created the heavens and the earth. So this is a creation of the universe, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now we'll talk about the relationship of verse 1 to the rest of the chapter here in a moment. But let's just come back a little bit. Look at that phrase, "in the beginning." God's creating the heavens and the earth, and we go back to the very beginning. God's creating the time, space, matter continuum. When I was 12 or 13 years old, I remember laying in the grass outside of my home in Albuquerque, looking up at the stars and thinking about the universe, thinking about where I was looking. that it had to have an end somewhere. Did you guys ever do this? I'm sure you have. It had to have an end somewhere, but it couldn't have an end because it went on forever. But it had to have an end, but there had to be something behind that. So it couldn't have an end, but it had to have an end. And then going to the other end. And then it has to have a beginning, but it couldn't have a beginning. But it has to have a beginning, and couldn't have a beginning. Then thinking of God, that God as a person has to have an end, but he can't have an end. But he has to have an end, but he can't have an end. Then going back to the other end, he had to have a beginning, but he couldn't have a beginning. But he has to have a beginning, but he couldn't have a beginning. Here was the struggle that I had, which I'm quite sure every person in this room has experienced. And that is, I was trying to fit God into his creation. See, God created time. God stands outside of time and created time. But we struggle in our minds to put God into time. And if God is outside of time and he created time, then he's not bound by the limits of time. Therefore, God, who stands outside of time, doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. And to God, like Einstein, to Einstein, time was relative. Einstein would just sit around and think. When I sit in a chair and stare, usually I'm not thinking. Einstein would not sit down and read. He would sit down and think about time and space and matter. And he eventually came up with the idea of relativity, that not everything is constant. When we think of time, we think of it moving steady, a steady march. It's all the same. When we think of space, we think of it being all the same. We think of matter, we think of it being all the same. But we learned it was relative. That means it's changing. Time changes. Space changes. Gravity, matter changes. It's dense, it's not dense. There's changes to all of these things. Well, to God, it's relative too. God said a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to him. And we can begin to understand that when we see God standing outside of time and creating time. He also created space, which is the reason that God is not bound by space, which is the reason that God can be outside of wherever we are, because we want to put God in space. If there's 5 billion people on planet Earth, how can God be with somebody in China and me at the same time? Because God lives outside of space. He is not bound by those limits of space. Matter. Again, God's not bound by matter. He created matter. Now, here I am, an individual, thinking individual, that God created in his image in this time, space, matter continuum that he created. And I'm trying to understand how God created the heavens and the earth. Is there any wonder that I'm going to have problems with that? Is there any wonder that we have Christians who are dogmatic on one side and dogmatic on the other side? This is the way that God created them. This is the way that Luther believed it. This is the way that, that's how it is. Or on the other side, this is the way that God created it. And we need to look at science and what's happening in science. And we see that you can take the book of Genesis and you can overlap it on a stencil on the 4.5 billion years of this earth, or on the 14.5 billion years in our universe, and overlap it as a stencil and see it happen. That's the way it happened. What I believe is that when it comes to the creation of our universe, it is, in a sense, beyond being able to find out. How am I going to be able to really understand it if God is indeed, here's a theological term for you, all right? Theologians tell us that God is transcendent. You know what that means? He's beyond our figuring out. He's transcendent. Our little minds, and I'm not saying yours in particular, I'm saying everybody, from the smartest among us to the dumbest among us, our little minds can't seem to wrap God up. We want to. We want to believe, you know what? Pretty smart guy. I can get that figured out. Well, God's just beyond that. And if we can't understand that, and if no one was there during creation, how can we be that dogmatic about the way things happened? Because I got one for you here now. You ready? We don't know what we don't know. There's a lot out there that we don't know. And we don't know what we don't know. And if we don't know what we don't know, how can we stamp our foot and say that's the way it was? If we don't know what we don't know. Because there's so much out there. See, science continues to change. Christians have been mocked at times for believing that the world is flat. But do you know it wasn't the Christians that believed it per se? It was the scientists who believed it. But they came to discover that the world wasn't flat, that it was round. And so they continued on. They progressed. And they've come to the point where they are today. And what scientists believe about the world today, about physics, about quantum physics, is, well, to use a physics term, light years ahead of where they were 30 years ago. But do you think that they've got everything right? Do you think they've discovered everything that there is to discover? Or do you think in 30 years, they're going to look back at where they were today and say, they thought the world was flat. It's so much different. See, that's the thing with science. Science is constantly changing. So if you are going to try to take the Old Testament and stencil it over science and say, now we can see how science and creation come together, you're going to constantly have to move it on that stencil. Because although God's word is the same and never changes and gives us the truth, how that fits into what actually happened and how God created the world with wisdom, with understanding, with balance, using the concepts that we are discovering through science, we don't really know. And I think it's a pretty interesting thing when someone will declare, I know how the world was made. Because someone else is going to be declaring 20 years from now that you were pretty much an idiot and didn't really know it. The people who thought that the world was flat, they pretty much thought they had it figured out. And today, there's something in science called the law of fallibility. And I need to say this up front as we talk about, as we're entering into Genesis. I'm not a scientist, all right? I don't claim to be a scientist. I don't claim to understand all science. I want to represent scientists correctly, but I'm sure I'm going to make mistakes. So you just know that, right? I was talking about the Big Bang Theory one time, and I said that Big Bang Theory is believing that all the mass of all of the universe was condensed down to something the size of a pea. And then because, I don't know, on a quantum level somewhere, boom, it exploded, created this great explosion. That's the Big Bang Theory. And afterwards, a scientist came up to me and said, listen, I hate to have to correct you, but the dot was smaller than a pea. Thank you for your correction. And so now when I talk about the Big Bang, I say a dot smaller than a pea, because I don't claim that I have all of the scientific understanding. And I think that when scientists venture into the realm of the Bible, I find a lot of mistakes. Because that's what I do every day. I'm in the Bible. Every day I'm in the Word. What a life I have to be able to pour myself into the Word of God every day. And when I look at what scientists, how scientists handle the Word of God, oftentimes I'm thinking, man, you can't handle the Word of God that way. I think that scientists feel the same way when I start handling science. They go, you might be very good in handling Hebrew and the right syntax of a sentence and how that, what that means. But when it comes down to handling science, you don't do such a good job. And I will admit that. In the very beginning, I am going to try to represent those who are involved in science the very best that I can. I'm quite sure that I will not represent them 100% correctly. Nevertheless, I think I'll get the big picture right. And the big picture is that science, to a large degree, has declared that they have figured things out, that they know how the world began, they know how old it is, they know how big it is, they've got it all figured out. When in reality, they can't even figure out what we could put our hands on. As of the time of this teaching, scientists don't know what gravity really is all about. They can study it. We know it works. Drop a hammer on your toe and you've experienced gravity. But how that happens, is it a bending of space? Why does a larger mass attract a smaller mass? What exactly is taking place? Scientists don't really know. And so they'll go, well, we know gravity works. We understand the physics of gravity, but we don't know exactly what makes it happen. But I know what happened 14.5 billion years ago. When that Big Bang took place and there was this explosion spontaneously all around the universe at the same place, at the same time, going as far out as you could possibly go, there was an explosion. And I go, I'm less confident than you are that you really have an understanding as to what happened. I have questions about what was just said. How do you know that it was spontaneous at the same time on different parts of the universe? How do you know there wasn't a center to the explosion? How do you know it wasn't an explosion at all? How do you know that something won't change? And you'll discover that there's something more powerful for the developing of energy than an explosion, and that perhaps it was that. How do you know what's happening at the quantum level? How do you know what's happening with time? How fast was time moving when the world was created? How fast was the speed of light at the time of creation? Scientists will tell us that in the past, the speed of light was going up to 2 times faster, maybe even faster than that, than what it is now. And then, remember the whole idea of relativity, that at the speed of light, time changes. We've all seen it in the science fiction program, right? Guy gets into a spaceship, takes off into space. They come back to Earth and thousands of years have passed and the Earth is controlled by apes. But to them, it was a matter of months. Their beard grew more. But when they came back to Earth and didn't know that it was Earth, but would discover that it's Earth, they came back and found out that thousands of years have passed. Now, in saying all of that, we have a debate in the church today. We have those who believe that creation was a 7-day period, 24 hours each. And we have those who believe that creation took 14.5 billion years, and that these are ages and not days, and that they're talking about long ages. You'll even have these guys who will debate one another. And I got to tell you, I've listened to some of their debates, just because it's part of what I do. And I listen to their debates, and I find their debates, it's not that I find them disinteresting. It's that I think they miss the point a lot of times in their debates. They're debating these details when in reality, the Bible talks about a 24-hour period. I think it's got to be. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. I think that it has to be 7 days in a 24-hour period because Adam was created on the 6th day, and on the 7th day, God rested. And if they're ages, and Adam lived to be 930 years, then he didn't make it out of the 7th day. You can't say that the first 6 days were ages and the 7th day was an actual day. And later on in Exodus, when God says, I created the world in 6 days, so 6 days you will work, and on the 7th day you shall rest, I believe that he's using it specifically. And that it can't be theistic evolution, which is the idea that God started the elements going, backed away, and then evolution took over. Because when we go back to the world of the dinosaurs, it's a very violent world. There's a lot of death taking place. The Bible says that sin, death, the fall of man, came into the world by Adam. So you really can't have anything in front of that because you've got this very violent fallen world that is in dinosaurs. So somehow you have to come in here and fit these whole things together. But here's the thing. When we talk about in the beginning, God creating the heavens and the earth, when God created the heavens, Job said he shook it out like a blanket, which sounds somewhat like the Big Bang theory. God shook it out like a blanket. I'm not saying that it was the Big Bang. I'm just saying it sounds somewhat like that. That God shook it out, and here things went out into space. Let me ask you, when that happened, how fast were the planets moving? How fast were the stars moving? Did they move faster than the speed of light? And if they did move faster than the speed of light, is it still possible today that something could go faster than the speed of light? And if it did, what happened to time when it was sent out? So in other words, is it possible that on the earth, 7 days passed, and in the universe, by the time things got out to where they would get out to, that much larger amount of time passed? And is it possible that during that 24-hour period on the earth, it was actually a longer amount of time out in space? There's something that was traveling through space. If everything is relative, and it's relative to God, and if we know that when you get to the speed of light, things slow down, we know that time in closer to the earth is slower than time further away from the earth. So a large mass slows down time. So now you've got speed and mass affecting time. And how does time affect light speed and mass? And all of those interconnected. So that can anybody be super dogmatic? And that is just the world of physics. We're not even talking about quantum physics yet, which scientists today will admit that's a budding science. But God knows it. God knows every aspect of how an atom works. And what they find out is that on the atomic level is that things oftentimes react and respond completely opposite of how things react and respond in the area of physics. So if that is the case, then how do we know how anything was made? I got to come back to my statement that I made before. You don't know what happened because you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know what you don't know, then how can you be that dogmatic? What I believe is what the Bible says. I believe God created it. Can there be a planet that's 100 million light years away? And we can look at the light from that 100 million light years away and God still create the earth in 7 days, seven literal days? Yes, I believe that that can happen. And I think that science and what science has discovered is revealing that when we come to the age of the earth. I never argue with someone about the age of the earth. I will, and I don't argue because the Bible says the servant of the Lord shall not argue, but I will discuss with someone about evolution. And I will fight the concept of evolution to my death because there's no proof for it. And in fact, it's the opposite. Life is too complex to have evolved. Even scientists, what we've been able to observe, what we can see in the fossil record, tells us that evolution hasn't happened in the time that the fossil record has been here. So there's not enough time to evolve. Even the smartest minds, Richard Dawkins and Stephen Hawking, say there's not enough time. And they're not willing to acquiesce that there's a God who created DNA, because there's not enough time for DNA with all of its complexities to evolve, but they say perhaps we were seeded by aliens, that aliens brought the DNA here and planted it, and that's what started evolution. So you got a jump start. In other words, the aliens came, and maybe it would take from a simple single cell, the simplest thing that's out there, to get to us. Maybe that would take 250 billion years or 500 million billion years to really evolve. But the aliens gave us a head start. Now, they mock us for believing in God. Then they themselves will say, perhaps there's aliens to be able to solve this problem. And I've got to ask you, who's grasping at straws? Is it us who believe that there is a God who is a creator that created such a complex world that even the brightest minds haven't figured it out yet? Even being able to stack our knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge, haven't been able to figure out how God created things? And the Bible says he created it with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Or someone who says, well, I know it's complex, but I think aliens put us here. They obviously don't have anything to back that up. And these are, again, I have no reason to believe that, you know, that Stephen Hawking is not one of the smartest guys out there. He may very well be, but he looks at the world around us and goes, it couldn't have happened. There has to be something that took place. And as an explanation, perhaps it's aliens that actually brought us to the place of it all happening to bring us to the point where we are today. All of that to say, I believe in a 1 week, 24-hour period, and I believe that that will be bore out in the end. I believe that in the end that will happen, and I believe the world around us is like that. I was going to talk about the 4.5 billion years that the Earth is supposed to have been here. The universe, 14.5 billion, right? Or 13.5 billion, some say. The Earth, 4.5 billion. I acquiesce it. I don't argue it, because when God created the heavens and the earth, did he do it like he did with Adam? He created Adam. How old was Adam when he created him? How old was he? Well, how old do you think Adam was? 30? 25? 20? No. When God created him, he was a second old, or a minute old. But he looked like he was 30. And scientists would have said, oh, he's got a beard. And it takes time for that beard to grow. And you wouldn't look at the scientists and say, you're an idiot. He's been here for a minute. You would go, I know he's got a beard, but God just created him. And God created him with a beard. And so God created our world with the look of age to it. And if a scientist sees that age, I'm not going to call him an idiot. I'm going to say, I'll acquiesce that point to you. Now, I still believe we're living in a young earth. I think there's a lot of clocks that point to that.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.